Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Da det en glede for meg å ønske hjertelig velkommen til podcasten Fy Fabian. I dag skal jeg besøke en utrolig spennende kar som liksom midt oppi alt som foregår I verden om dagen. Jeg skal besøke av den engelske ambassadøren Richard Wood.
Hei.
Veldig hyggelig å ha besøk av deg.
Veldig hyggelig å være her.
Ja. Jeg skal, du... har jo lært deg norsk.
Jeg lærte norsk før jeg kom hit, ja.
Og da fikk du altså beskjed av dronningen at nå skal du en tur til Norge, og så...
Ja, sånn det. Det en del av jobben for oss, at vi må lære oss språket, hvor vi går på utlandsstilling.
Men hvis du hadde fått stilling I Kabul, da?
Ja, det samme. Da lærer du Dari, eller Fasi.
Ja, det imponerende, men vi kommer til å snakke litt norsk, litt engelsk. Jeg tror de fleste får det med seg likevel. Det var en populær sang I Norge. Eller først skal jeg si at vi hadde en ambassadør fra Amerika for noen år siden, og han het Barry White.
Oh, ja.
Så når han introduserte seg, så sa han at «My name is Barry White, I'm not a singer», sa han. «And I'm not a singer either, but jeg skal nå synge». Og vi hadde en veldig populær sang som het «Olav var fra Sandefjord, han var lett matros ombord, skuta gikk til England, og I land gikk han». Og så det masse frem og tilbake, og så det noen damer og sånt nå, og så refrenget da «Det gikk på engelsk og norsk, my little sweetheart». Så da skal du og jeg da holde oss til engelsk og norsk. Det jo sånn at noen ambassadører politisk I den forstand at de ikke kan så mye om diplomatiet, men utpekt fordi de har samlet inn penger til en valgkamp eller noe sånt nå. Og så det noen som proffambassadører. Du blant de proffe eller blant de pengeinsamlerne?
Ja, det vårt system. Jeg proffdiplomat I 30 år nå, så ja, det vårt system.
I 30 år allerede?
Ja.
Wow. Og da har du gått gradene fra de enkle stillinger og helt opp til ambassadør.
Ja, sånn det. Jeg var tre ganger på EU-avdelingen I London. Jeg var på utlandsstilling I Sør-Afrika to ganger. I Washington, på FN I New York og I Irak, egentlig.
Irak. Ja. Men da må jeg allerede nå spørre deg om... Hvordan livet som ambassadør? Altså, du kommer til et nytt land, og så får du antageligvis en liste fra din forgjenger over spennende mennesker, viktige mennesker og så videre. Men du kjenner kanskje ingen.
Mm-hmm. Sånn det, ja.
Og så skal du være der I fire år? Fem? Max?
Fem, ja.
Og så, og du en nice guy, så du blir jo fort populær og blir invitert I selskaper. Du går litt til de andre ambassadene, men du knytter kontakter med folk I Norge. Og så når det gått da de 4-5 årene, så begynner du å kjenne en god del mennesker.
Ja.
Og så reiser du.
Ja, sånn det. Men først og fremst, det derfor det at jeg lærte meg norsk, fordi det mye, mye lettere å få kontakt med folk når du kan språket, ikke sant? Og jeg reiser hele tiden om Norge, og jeg snakker med forretningsfolk, med kulturfolk, med politikere. Og hvis du kan gjøre det på norsk, er det mye lettere å ha en bredt nettverk, et bredt nettverk av folk som du kan ringe opp og spørre noe og få et godt bild fra det som skjer egentlig i Norge.
Mm. But when we were in South Africa and you met a lot of people, you were there two times, and then of course you met new friends. Do you still see them, or is that just...
Yeah, well, that's the personal side. That's a lot different. I mean, that can be quite a lonely existence. As you say, you make friends, and then you move on.
Yeah.
And actually, what you also find is that when people find out that you're in a country temporarily, they don't really have that much interest in getting to know you.
Yeah.
They say, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
But they want the close friends.
They really want to get to know you well. Yeah.
Of course, that's difficult, yeah, because they don't want to get hurt either. So
And Norwegians, you know, have very... It's very interesting. They have very long-lasting relationships with people. They went to the same university, and you find they have a network over many years.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard to break into that.
Yeah.
If you're a foreigner, one, and if you're in the country temporarily, even harder still.
Yeah.
But I do have good friends here, and it is a very, very friendly place to spend time.
Yeah. But it's, of course, it depends on the way you meet people, too. I mean, you are friendly, and then it's probably easier to start friendship.
Yes, but I think people are a little bit frightened by the title. People say to me, "Oh, ambassador, that's a very grand thing."
Yeah.
No, I'm just Richard.
Yeah.
My day job is ambassador, but that's just a job.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's not who I am.
There was a Polish ambassador here some years ago, and he said that he was asked what it was like to be an ambassador. And then he said that's a question of protocol, alcohol, and cholesterol. Is it that much whining and dining?
That's probably a long-established joke that doesn't... I mean, everybody's job has changed, right, in the modern era. In the modern era, everybody's job, including the job of diplomats. So we are far more about social media and about projection and engagement than we are about entertaining other diplomats, which is, for me, not a really useful part of what I can do here.
And that must be boring, and then you should have nicer and nicer parties to show that you have the best products from your country. And
well, everybody has a national day, so every year we try and have the Queen's birthday party, and that is about showcasing your country and the relationship that you have to Norway. So that's important. So there are aspects of entertaining which are important for doing the job. But entertaining for the sake of entertaining, that's something I always try to avoid. Too much cholesterol, as you say. Not so much alcohol these days, but too much cholesterol for sure.
But you are living next to the Russian embassy.
Mm-hmm.
You often go down there and have some vodka and a talk.
Do you know, I almost wish that I did. I haven't done that. And we're very friendly when we see each other at events and on the street. But we haven't established that kind of relationship, I have to say. But you can in our world. When I was at the UN in New York, I was running resolutions against countries on human rights records during the day. And then in the evening, we'd go out for a drink together and it'd all be forgotten. So that is possible.
When I was a child and walked in Drammensveien, where you live, we were so afraid of the Russian embassy, so we went on to the other side of the street, to your side of the street when we passed by. But I go and see the Russians on the 9th of May, because that's their day when the Second World War ended. And we have forgotten that 15,000 people died in Norway coming from the former Soviet Union states. And that I never learned anything about that in school, because then we had the Cold War. But I learned it later on, and I think that even though we have a lot of conflicts and difficult issues, we should be able to meet each other and respect some parts of our history.
Absolutely. And there was the commemoration of Frigjöringen I Østfinnmark a couple of years ago, and I think that was done very well to show that there is that common history. And of course, Norway and Russia are neighbors and need to have good practical relations on many issues. We would like to have that too as the UK and Russia. Unfortunately, right now it's quite difficult, but we will continue trying to have full engagement. It's how relations work.
Yeah. Talking about the northern part of Norway, we must not forget that they came in, the Russians came in and threw out the Nazis, and then they left again. And they could have stayed.
Unlike in other parts of Europe, yeah.
So then you have to help me a little bit, because I said that you were the English ambassador, but you are the ambassador from Britain.
Not even the UK ambassador.
The UK ambassador.
Yeah.
Okay. We have when you ask people out here where they want to travel when the pandemic is over, then they will say, "I would like to go to Spain or whatever," and then we will say that I want to go to England. But we have England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Shetland.
Wales, you're forgetting Wales.
Wales?
Yeah.
And the Faroeina?
No, that's part of Denmark.
That's part of Denmark. Mm. So it's Shetland, Hebridene?
Yeah, you're going down quite a long way now. They're part of Scotland, right? So basically you have...
So Hebridene is a part of Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. So you have the UK,
yeah,
which is the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So yeah. Great Britain is England, Scotland and Wales.
Yeah.
And the United Kingdom is those three plus Northern Ireland.
Okay.
So if you just say English, and I've gotten trouble now because when I speak Norwegian, I say Engelsmenn.
Engelsmenn, yeah.
Som dere sier,
ikke
sant? But I get in trouble because my Scottish compatriots complain that I am forgetting them. So, no, the British is a good way to describe all of us.
British, yeah. British. You can't say I'm a UKer.
No, we don't have a word. It's a problem. We don't have an adjective for UK. We must invent one.
Talking about words you don't have, I have some Norwegian words that you don't. That it is difficult to translate to English. So you must help me. Well, one word is Harry. But that's a name of a male person, and it's used to say that they have American cars.
If you go shopping in Sweden, for
they
example.
Go shopping in Sweden, for example. Yeah. But we have one word that's called oppoklatt.
What does that mean?
That means when you have, for example, three children, and they're grown up. And then you get another one.
Oh.
That's called an oppoklatt.
I could be unkind and say maybe it's an afterthought.
I will have a list there. And then we have a word called tropenatt.
Ooh, that's a hard one to explain.
Yeah.
I don't really know how we would say that in English.
The explanation is a night when the temperature doesn't fall under 20 degrees during the night.
I don't know. We don't have a word for it, though. Balmy night, I don't know. Hot night. We just have to describe it.
And then the last one is et døgn.
Yes. 24 hours is how I explain that. A 24-hour period. But you're right, that's an interesting... I was amazed by that concept when I first heard it in Norwegian. Et døgn. I thought, why would you not just say en dag? But that's and I found it can be useful.
Ja, for det at hvis du skal si, for eksempel, vi hadde et romantisk døgn, så blir det jo ikke like koselig hvis du sier vi hadde romantiske 24 timer.
Det gjelder natten også, ikke sant? Ikke bare dagen.
Og så er det etterhvert som når vi laver mat med brødskiver, og så legger noe på brødskiven, så sier vi at det vi legger opp på, det pålegg.
Mm. Topping, we do have a word for that.
Du, topping, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Så da er det løst.
But I have to say, we don't really use it for sandwiches. Only really for desserts.
For dessert, ja. Yeah. As you can hear, I'm a Norwegian, and we have a lot of Norwegians around the world who represent us and represent different organizations, for example, Stoltenberg in NATO and other places. And we have sort of made our own English. Because we talk more or less Norwegian, but with some English words. How does that sound for you?
I really like it. I think that you can, and you know what? You can even tell which part of Norway somebody is from by the way they speak English.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bergense, speaking English, I know right away where they're from. Yeah. So people bring their own background, their own life, their own way of speaking and thinking to the way they speak foreign languages. And don't forget, I was at the United Nations, so I'm used to lots of different versions of English, which can be an advantage or a disadvantage in negotiations, so I'm used to hearing variations on English, and I think Norwegian is a very charming one.
Is it charming? Also, I'm wondering why people who have been out in the world for 20 years still talk that kind of English. But is it charming?
Do you know why? Because Norwegian, when I learned Norwegian, I found that there is no direct translation for very many things. Right. Very many things I wanted to say in Norwegian, I would just try and translate each word. Yeah. And that's not the way Norwegian works. It has its own way of working. So it sounds very charming because sometimes something sounds a little odd in English, but I know exactly in Norwegian what they're saying.
What they're saying,
so yeah. I really like it.
Yeah, okay. You were talking about the Bergenese. I'll give it a try. Because I'm coming from Bergen. It's so nice to see you all here in Bergen. We have looked forward to take you for a guided tour along the coastline here.
Exactly, exactly. You can hear it right away.
Ja, det går bra I Bergen da. Det var ikke vondt ment dette.
I should say, of course, I love Bergen.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I know I need to add that because Bergen said they are very proud of where they come from, as they should be. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah. You have been through Brexit. Jeg skal ikke bruke av din tid på det, men det er jo litt spennende I vår tid at vi I alle mulige sammenhenger har jobbet for å slå sammen for å bli sterkere. Og så kommer plutselig britene og sier at nei, vi vil ut. Hvordan er stemningen i UK nå på det spørsmålet?
Jeg synes vi alle vant til ideen, at vi ikke lenger del av EU, at vi har gått ut. Det var naturligvis en veldig vanskelig debatt. Så på folkeavstemningen var det var ikke 75% mot 25, det var 52-48.
Ja.
Så det var nesten like, og så var det stor debatt om det som vi måtte gjøre for å komme ut, og hvilken modell vi skulle velge for fremtiden. Så, men nå at det har skjedd, det er nå lenge siden, siden folkeavstemningen, vi er veldig vant til ideen. Det er fortsatt dem som naturligvis ikke liker ideen at vi har gått ut, men de er vant til ideen, og de er vant til ideen at vi må få den beste. Vi må skape den beste for landet. Så ja, jeg tror vi er klare til, nå til å se til fremtiden. Det er mange som spurte meg om fortiden fortsatt, men vi er som briter, vi er vant til å se frem.
Så de 48% som stemte nei, de er nå innstillt på å bidra til prosessen for at den skal bli best mulig? De sitter ikke bare og sier hva sa jeg og protesterer?
Jeg tror de aller fleste vil bare ha den best mulige løsning til avtalene med EU, til avtalen med Norge. De forstår at vi må nå skape den successful future sammen.
Mm. Og så er det jo mange som selvfølgelig i Norge er opptatt av at vi får gode handelsavtaler med dere. Jobber du mye med det, eller er det?
Ja.
Så da kan jeg, de som spør meg om det, kan jeg bare sende til deg, så blir det orden på det.
Det er veldig komplisert, vet du.
Ja.
Men det er viktig at vi, fordi vi skaper et nytt forhold mellom Storbritannia og Norge som må være langvarig, ikke sant? Ja. Og, så det er viktig at vi gjør det riktig nå.
Men er det fisk som er vanskeligst?
Vet du, dette er Norge, så det er alltid fisk og landbruk som er viktige spørsmål og tema i norsk politikk. Så ja, naturligvis er det, må vi finne en løsning til fisk og landbruk.
Mm. Men de er så sterke krefter at de skal ikke jeg blande meg opp i. De tror jeg klarer å fremføre sitt syn på en god måte. Men jeg har en gruppe som jeg gjerne vil at du skal ta med deg og tenke litt spesielt på når reglene skal skapes, og det er studentene.
Mm-hmm. Ja.
Jeg håper inderlig at du kan være en pådriver for at vi får et åpent studentforhold mellom våre to land, sånn at de unge kan fritt reise og studere et annet sted uten å ende opp med astronomiske skolepenger.
Mm-hmm. Ja, så jeg er veldig opptatt av å skape forbindelser mellom norske og britiske universiteter. Og det er mange, mange nordmenn som studerte i Storbritannia og fant det var en valuable opplevelse, ikke sant?
Mm.
Så jeg er veldig opptatt av at vi kan fortsette med det. Så kostnadene, men for første gang er de nå like kostnadene for nordmenn, altså for svenskene, eller danskene, eller spanjolene. Så det er godt. Det er krav nå for en visum, men vi har et forenkelt system for visesøknad for studenter. Så jeg håper at nordmenn vil velge Storbritannia for studium i fremtiden også. Vi gjør det beste vi kan for å gjøre det enkelt og søke seg. Og jeg håper folk vil si at det er et veldig godt mål for utenlandsstudium.
Mm.
I didn't explain that very well.
That's good. And the important thing is, of course, that we learn to know each other when we send students to...
So important. You know, I find so many businessmen and politicians and people in everyday life in Norway who say to me, I studied in the UK. It was such a great experience. And that's how we make those connections. For me, relationships between countries, yes, you have politicians to politicians and you have business to business, but it's people to people that make a real relationship that is that has deep foundations and is long-lasting and a real relationship. So for me, that's such an important part of the job.
And some of them have got a tie or a handkerchief from the university, and they wear it. They bring it with them the rest of their lives. So they're pretty good ambassadors, they too.
Exactly. That helps me do my job, right?
Yeah. I can tell you that when I went to the university in the 70s, and then some of my friends, they wanted to go to Sweden, to the university there. They wanted to learn about the economy or whatever. And then the Swedes took, they arrived in the morning. The Swedes opened their arms, gave them necessary documents for the school during the day. And in the evening, they showed them an apartment they could have. And then they went to school the next day. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgotten it. And I think the more we can do of that, of course, we have to invite students both ways. But the more we can do, I think it's...
The social welfare state at work, right? I mean... Yes, ideally. I mean, we'd love to do that. But my experience as a student was find yourself some accommodation in a pretty terrible part of town with an outside toilet where there's ice over the top in winter. And, you know, we need to find somewhere between the two, I think. I don't think we are capable of welcoming foreign students and giving them accommodation. But definitely I want them to feel that they are welcomed and valued, and that the long-lasting links that come from that is something that we are really grateful for.
I went with a friend of mine, and he started at Berkeley, and they had the rule in the house that you couldn't bring in anything that wasn't stolen. And he was a small guy, and she'd go out and steal a bed. So that's the opposite way to do it. I know you're busy. I know that you are working on a difficult task about these engineering businesses on the West Coast. So I won't take more of your time now, but I do hope that you will. In your the years you have to, I will stay in Norway. That you will not only meet professionals, but will meet nice people who wants to be your friend, even though they know that you're going to leave again.
I meet lots and lots of nice people, and do you know what Norwegians always say to me? What do you think about Norway? Do you love Norway? And I said, yes, of course I love Norway. There's such a long list of reasons why anyone would love Norway. So I have tried with London to extend my time from 4 years to 5 years, and I've luckily succeeded in that. But no, it's a wonderful place to spend time. Really interesting work as the British ambassador, particularly with the relationship that we have. And I meet tons of lovely people. If we can get all of this corona stuff out of the way, then I'll be back on the road meeting people soon as I can.
That's good. And so er det jo sånn at vi mennesker, vi liker å få vennskap, vi liker å få ting og sånn, men det også veldig deilig å kunne gi, og vi har jo dette juletreet som vi har sendt til Trafalgar Square fra Oslo hvert år siden krigen, som en takk for alt dere gjorde for oss. Og det noe særlig populært, hadde jeg sagt, å få det? Altså, det noen I, som legger merke til det I England at det dette vennskapet, eller det bare
liksom? Ja. Det et av høydepunktene for meg årlig å gå til Nordmarka og I never know, it's hugge og hogge juletreet.
Both is okay.
Oh, both is okay. Okay. No, I'll stop worrying. Hugge juletreet med ordføreren. Og jeg vil at folk I Storbritannia forstår historien bak, bak juletreet, fordi vi nå 70-80 år etter 2. verdenskrig, og yngre folk, de kanskje forstår de ikke hva det symboliske verdien bak juletreet. Og jeg forstår, jeg forsøker hvert år å forklare til Storbritannia hva symbol av juletreet og vennskap med Norge og med Oslo. Fordi det en gave fra kommuner, Oslo kommune. Så, men ja, folk de vet det det norske juletreet. Og med forklaring fra oss hva historien, så jeg tror folk veldig veldig takknemlige at Norge fortsetter denne tradisjonen.
Vi sendte jo lenge et tre også til Rotterdam. Det var et år de ikke var så takknemlige, fordi at det lå på dekk på en båt, og så fikk de storm I Nordsjøen. Da det ble satt opp, så var det ikke ett gram bare igjen. Men det var godt ment, da.
Det ikke bare London, så Trafalgar Square, det også Aberdeen og Newcastle og Glasgow.
Ja, det
mange. Så det en symbol for alle forbindelsene som eksisterer mellom byene i Storbritannia og Norge.
Så det I hvert fall, men det veldig hyggelig å høre at det populært å få det, men det I hvert fall veldig hyggelig å få lov til å gi det som en liten takk fra vår side. Så da sier jeg tusen takk for at du ville komme. Jeg håper som deg at pandemien forlater oss, sånn at vi kan gå ut både I Norge og resten av verden og være frie mennesker igjen, sånn at ikke minst du får glede av din gjenværende del av ambassadørjobben I Oslo. Tusen takk skal du ha.
Takk for meg.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.